This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. This past spring, Senator Bernie Sanders introduced legislation to ensure greater access to college for young Americans. The College for All Act would eliminate fees at four-year public colleges and universities for families making up to $125,000 a year, and community college would be free for everyone. That legislation has not been advanced, but Sanders himself continues to push for a change to the massive debt burdens many students take on. This week, he's in Vermont holding college town hall sessions and fairs, one last weekend at Linden State and one tonight at Castleton University, as well as this coming Saturday, there will be a college fair. Senator Sanders joins us now to talk about what he's doing to advance the cause of higher education in Vermont. Welcome back to the program, Senator.
Good to be with you, Jane.
What are you going to be doing at Castleton University tonight?
Well, we're going to be having a town meeting at Castleton, and we'll also be live streaming it to about 15 college campuses around the country where there'll be rallies. And we expect many hundreds of thousands of people will be on the live stream as well. And the goal here is to make it clear that in the year 2017, it is a little bit crazy in a competitive global economy that we have hundreds of thousands of bright young people, including young people here in Vermont, but all across the country, who have the ability to get a college education, who have the desire to do it, but can't do it because of the high cost of college. And then on top of that, we got millions of people, many millions, who leave school very deeply in debt. And if we are going to have a strong economy, and if we're going to have a strong nation in the years to come, it seems to me that common sense suggests that we do what many, many other countries around the world are doing, and that is make public college and universities tuition-free so that everybody, regardless of income, will be able to get the education they need. That's good for the individual. It's good for the nation as a whole, because almost all of the decent-paying new jobs that are being created are going to require a higher education.
Your bill would offer free tuition and fees for four-year institutions, public institutions, for families with a family income of $125,000 or less. What happens to a family that earns $126,000 under your plan? Is it a cliff?
Well, there's also going to be increased financial aid in general. This will cover, what we are proposing will cover well over 80% of the families in this country, obviously the families most in need. What worries me very much, Jane, and I think a lot of people may not know this, is that not so many years ago, the United States led the world in terms of being the best educated country on the planet. We had a higher percentage of college graduates than any other country. Today, people will be surprised to know that we are now in 11th place, and that gap is growing between other countries and us. So it is to me absolutely imperative that we say to every kid in this country, kids in the fifth grade and the sixth grade, that no matter what your income is, if you study hard and take your schoolwork seriously, yes, you're going to be able to go to college or get a higher education, 2 years, 4 years. And yes, you're going to have an opportunity to make it into the middle class.
You had many Democratic senators sign on to your initial legislation that you put forward this past spring. I didn't see any R's next to any names in that initial push. Has there been any movement from your colleagues on the other side of the aisle?
Well, here's what is very interesting. When I was running for president and I talked about making public colleges and universities tuition-free, everybody said, oh, that's a crazy idea. That's too idealistic. That's pie in the sky. Well, you know what's happened since then? In New York State, more or less, public colleges and universities are now tuition-free, and many, many thousands of people in New York State are now able to go to college in a way that they might not have previously. A couple of weeks ago, I was in San Francisco, speaking at San Francisco City College. And what they did in San Francisco is made their community college tuition-free. And amazingly and interestingly, for residents of San Francisco, enrollment increased in our college by 51%. People now, working class people, have the opportunity to get a college education. In Tennessee, which is a very conservative state, with a conservative Republican governor, they also, for all the right reasons, decided to make community colleges tuition-free. In a Republican state, where the governor said if their economy is to be strong And if they're going to be able to fill the jobs of the future, they want to make sure that they have a well-educated workforce. Oregon is doing the same. So what you're seeing is in Democratic states and in some Republican states, the understanding that 50 years ago, free public education meant first grade through 12th grade, and that worked then. In those days, you know, 50 years ago, if you graduated high school, you can go out and get a decent job, make it into the middle class. But to a significant degree, a college degree today is equivalent to what a high school degree was 50 years ago. And we have got to expand that concept to make sure that public colleges and universities are tuition-free. This is not a radical idea.
You know, you mentioned that states are making changes in the absence of a sort of sweeping federal change. But here we are in Vermont, and here you are making these pushes at Vermont four-year public institutions, when Vermont's public higher education system remains one of the least well-funded by the state legislature.
That's right.
Now, I know you deal with federal policy, but I mean, in some ways, does it not feel to you like it rings a little hollow that the sponsoring senator comes from a state that
No, it doesn't raise hollow to me. I am not the governor of the state, and I'm not in the legislature. And I certainly hope that the governor and the legislature will do the right thing.
So how are you pushing them on that?
You know, Jane, I am a United States senator. I am not the governor. If the question is, do I think Vermont, in terms of community colleges, in terms of four-year colleges, should move to tuition-free, the answer is absolutely. And I will look forward to working with the governor and anyone else who supports that position.
So in the absence of federal movement, what do you hope or what would you push the governor to do in Vermont or the legislature to do?
Well, I think there is an understanding. One of the concerns that we have a couple of concerns, is that in Vermont, and I have talked to employers who have told me this, and this is true all over the country. Right now, in Vermont, there are good-paying jobs that are not being filled because the applicants lack the skills. So that is pretty crazy stuff. That's true all over this country. So if we are concerned about strengthening our economy and making sure that we have people who can fill the good-paying jobs of today, not to mention the future, I think it is an absolutely sensible investment to make sure that public colleges and universities are tuition-free. Let me give you an example of the absurdity of what's going on in Washington. I am the ranking member of the Budget Committee, the leader of the opposition. And right now, what the Republican budget is about in a 10-year period is to give $1.9 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1%, including within that $269 billion to the very, very richest families by repealing the estate tax, which will apply to the top 0.2%. So they want to give $1.9 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1%. I want to spend $600 billion over a 10-year period, one-third of that amount, to make sure that public colleges and universities are tuition-free. Those are the kinds of choices about priorities that the American people are going to have to make.
So is it frustrating now to be in D.C.? I mean, not at this very moment.
It's very frustrating. I mean, we worked month after month, as I think most Vermonters know, trying to beat back the horrific plans of the Republican leadership to repeal and or replace the Affordable Care Act, which would have meant up to 32 million Americans being thrown off of their health insurance plans. 32 million Americans who today have health insurance would wake up in the next 10 years and saying, I no longer have it. I'm struggling with cancer, with diabetes, with a heart problem, but I no longer have health insurance. So is it frustrating having to deal with that horrific set of priorities? Of course it is. And now we're dealing with a budget that wants to give $1.9 trillion in tax breaks to the 1%, but it also wants $1 trillion in cuts in Medicaid, which once again would throw 15 million people off the health insurance they have. It wants hundreds of billions of dollars in cuts to Medicare, despite the fact that Trump ran for president saying, oh, I'm not going to cut Medicare. Well, his program, this budget, would make hundreds of billions of dollars in cuts to Medicare. It would make massive cuts to education. We're talking about education and the fact that it is so difficult for middle-class families to be able to get a higher education. They want to make massive cuts in Pell Grants. Can you imagine when families all over this country are struggling, figuring out how they could send their kids to college, how much debt they can absorb. This Republican budget wants to cut Pell Grants and other student assistance programs. They want to cut the LIHEAP program. They want to cut the WIC program, Women, Infant, and Children program for low-income pregnant women so they can have healthy babies. The priorities being established right now in Washington are just absolutely unbelievably backwards and reactionary. And this budget that we're dealing with right now is certainly the most destructive budget ever presented in the modern history of this country. And as the leader of the opposition on the budget committee, I'm going to do everything I can to defeat it.
And are you confident that the defeat is imminent?
No, I'm not confident. I think from what we've seen right now, media has not done a particularly good job in even talking about this budget. So I suspect there are many people who don't even know what is in it. Certainly we have the Koch brothers and the other billionaires who think this is a great budget. If you are the Walton family, the wealthiest family in America, you could get up to a $50 billion tax break by the repeal of the estate tax. If you're the Koch brothers, that family would get something like a $30 billion tax break. So the very wealthiest people in this country think this is a great idea. They can get more in tax breaks. And the Koch brothers' philosophy of cutting every federal program is what this budget is about. So am I confident? We're going to fight as hard as we can. And this budget will be on the floor of the Senate, I suspect, within 2 weeks. And the American people will see it. But one of the jobs that I have is to rally the American people to say, no, we don't give tax breaks to billionaires and cut Medicare and Medicaid and heating assistance programs and Pell Grants. That is absurd. It's not what the American people want. But it speaks, in my view, to the corruption of our political system, which is clearly dominated by the billionaire class and campaign contributors.
I want to move to a slightly, well, a very different topic, but ask you about federal relief for Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico, the Caribbean islands, hit very hard by hurricanes and really still facing devastation and still facing many questions about relief that's coming, how long it's taking, and if the federal government seems to have a different policy for citizens in Puerto Rico than it does for citizens who belong to the states?
Well, that is a very good question. And I hope everybody knows that the people of Puerto Rico are American citizens entitled to all of the same benefits that the people in Texas and the people in Florida, people in Vermont, any place else are entitled to. And I was very disturbed. I spoke to the mayor of San Juan, and I've spoken to the governor of Puerto Rico in the last week. And I was very disturbed that in the middle of this horrific crisis, where the vast majority of the people in Puerto Rico don't have electricity, and if you don't have electricity, you can't keep your food cold, you can't keep your medicine cold. When the temperature gets very hot and you're old, you don't have any air conditioning. I mean, we're looking at the worst disaster that island has suffered in God knows how long. This is a destroyed island and has to be rebuilt. So if your question is, do I think that the President of the United States, consistent with his views on many other issues, is looking at Puerto Rico differently than he's looking at Texas and Florida? Yes, I do. And our job, though, is to demand in Congress that the people of Puerto Rico get the same help that any other state in this country would get. And there's another issue out there that's very important. And I talked to Bill McKibben from Vermont, who is one of the leading global environmentalists on this issue. Before the hurricane, the electrical system in Puerto Rico was terribly deficient. Costs were very, very high. They were paying, I think, almost double what is paid on the mainland for electricity. It was unreliable. And, of course, it has been significantly destroyed by the hurricane. I think that in an island like Puerto Rico, which has incredible resources in terms of wind and solar, that there should be at this moment a transformation of their electrical system away from oil, which is currently how they supply their generators, to wind and solar. And I think the people at Tesla have made a proposal that they could move aggressively on that island. So I think if there's any silver lining out of all of that destruction, is that maybe Puerto Rico will move in terms of energy in a different direction.
Senator, we just have 2 minutes left, but I'm interested in hearing your take now. We've had a little bit of space since the devastating shootings in Las Vegas and 58 people killed by a shooter. And I'm curious if you think now is the time for changes to gun control, federal gun control.
Well, as somebody who has always believed that we should not be selling or distributing assault weapons in this country, which are designed just to kill people, I think that fight has got to be renewed. I think what we are going to see is, as you know, many of the guns that were used by this very sick person in Las Vegas were guns that were, quote-unquote, improved to become automatic weapons with this bump stock apparatus. And I think that there is a feeling, even among Republicans who work very closely with the NRA, that that apparatus should not be sold. If there was in the 1980s legislation passed which said that we should not be selling automatic weapons, which means if you press the trigger, you just spring out hundreds of bullets, that weapon should not be sold. But for all intent and purposes, what this bump stock apparatus does is converts a semi-automatic into an automatic weapon. So I would hope, and my understanding is even the NRA understands the absurdity of that. So I would hope that we could deal with that. But I think the more important issue is the understanding that we have, unfortunately, tragically in this country, many, many people who are walking the streets today who may be homicidal, they may be suicidal, and we do not want to give them weapons that will just kill so many people so quickly. I mean, the amazing thing is about Las Vegas is that in a period of, I think it was 9-10 minutes, this guy was able to kill and wound some over 500 people just in that space of time because he had a weapon capable of just mowing down human beings. And I don't think in this country we need those type of weapons.
Senator Bernie Sanders, I want to thank you for talking with us today. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much. Take care.
And just a reminder, the College Town Hall at Castleton University we were talking about earlier in this conversation starts this evening at 7 p.m., and there is a college fair at Castleton this Saturday. We'll put links up at vpr.net.